This is File 37, Cycle 3. This is Jean McMillan. Today's date is June 18th, 2018. I am interviewing Ella Clark at the Sharon Town Hall. She is the municipal agent for Sharon, and she's going to talk about the beginnings of chore service and things that are related to that and anything else she wants to talk about. But first, we'll start with, what is your name?
My name's Ella Clark.
How did you come to this area?
Well, the first time I was in this area was to visit the graves of my grandparents in Armenia. And the second time was when we bought land in Armenia and built a house there. And the third time was when we lived there and my son was born in the Sharon Hospital.
When was your son born? Oh, dear.
I don't know, 69, around there, 1969.
Okay.
And then we all left for a while, went to the West Coast, and when I came back, I tried various other places and ended up in Sharon, where the town hall needed a municipal agent, and then they needed a social service agent because in 98 there was a downturn in the economy, and a lot of people in various towns needed help, and the first selectmen of these towns, if they didn't have a social service agent already, as they do in the privileged town of Salisbury, like Salisbury Family Services, that wonderful organization, a lot of towns hired people to help take care of, quote, indigent individuals, unquote. So I came to the town hall under those auspices as municipal agent and as social service agent.
Do you have a degree in social services?
I do not.
But you are a caring person, and that's what counts. Yes? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How did the idea for the chore service begin?
Well, in whenever we started it, when was that? 1992, mm-hmm. The State Department of Social Services was not cutting back on services, but was starting to charge people for services at home. And two families in Sharon talked to me about that. One of them, as I told you in a previous talk, was a couple. And she was legally blind. He had a heart condition. They were in their late 80s and living on a combined income of approximately $14,500, living at home. And their Department of Social Service person was then going to be encumbering their house if they used social services. And a lot of people do not want to have their houses leaned because it's the only asset they can give to their kids.
Right.
And Russell Feingold, bless his soul, called this kind of encumbering a death tax on the poor. So it was Mr. and Mrs. Drum, Ned and Julia Drum, who came to me with this problem, as well as Della Finn, a wonderful, feisty lady, and they were both of them of very modest means, only living on Social Security. Della Finn had been a nurse at the Sharon Hospital. So I cast about, and I talked with the people at the Western Connecticut Area Agency on Aging, which is a federal agency. They are in every state. Area agencies are meant to help take care of, in one way or another, and provide information for people 60 and over. They provide grants, information, and support. So I talked with Chris Fishbein there, who is, I believe, still the head of it, and she suggested a program called a chore service, and I'd never heard of that before, but she said it's something that'll help people at home. You can apply for a grant, and people can contribute to it. There's no charge, technically. They can contribute what they can afford, and it's on a sliding scale. So I started to make out an application for this program. But these people, these for three people that I was very concerned about, Mrs. Finn and Mr. and Mrs. Drum, needed help right away, I felt. So after I had written out and copied the 14 copies of the many-page application for the Western Connecticut Area Agency on Aging, I meanwhile applied to the Berkshire Taconic Community Foundation for a grant so that I could start. And I got $2,000 from the Berkshire Taconic Community Foundation for this enterprise.
Good. Good.
Yeah, it was. It was great. It was very good. So that's how we started out, with one town and three people.
Well, that's where little beginnings, and then it just grows. Mm. Now, the official name is the Northwest Corner Chore Service?
That's what it is.
That's what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
And how is your chore service different from something in an urban area?
Well, not only in an urban area, but a few other places. In the first place, I thought since people would have to drive to their clients, I wanted to provide mileage. So we provided mileage for people. There were, in the early days, no restrictions on the number of miles that a person could drive. Eventually, some people were getting even more in mileage than they were in wages, mm-hmm. and we had to scale back, not by much, but I think we yep. limited it to 24 miles per visit, something like that.
Okay.
So that's one way. The other way that it was different was that we provided help with anything around the house and to some extent outside the house. Because people in rural areas consider their lawn, their front yard, mm-hmm. to be a part of their house and an extension of their dwelling and themselves. So we wanted people to be able to use chore workers to help with things outside. We also, for a while, had a program called... It was a program to help people with gardening that had started...
Gardening Angels?
Yes, Garden Angels. The Garden Angels, which was started in the South so that people could have vegetable gardens, would help clients with not putting in a full-scale garden, but with a small vegetable garden or tending the strip of perennials or
yep.
annuals that they had outside their house. As well as snow shoveling and mowing to some extent. So those were outdoor things that a person in an urban region would not need and were considered by the program, the chore service in general, to be frills and unnecessary.
So they are not frills.
Well, not around here.
Not here.
No,
not
no,
here. Did you pay the minimum wage?
No, we did better than the minimum wage, and we tried to be competitive or do better than local agencies that were providing a similar kind of help.
And were you restricted to just one income level?
No. Oh, no, that was the big thing. We wanted to be sure that everybody knew about it, anybody 60 or over, as well as I understood it, anybody disabled. In any case, anybody of any income could use it because I didn't want it to become a source of stigma where a person who was using the chore service would be automatically labeled as poor. Mm-hmm. So we had a nice mix of people of all incomes.
Good.
And it meant that for at least the most generous of our better-off clients, we would have a better contribution.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that way we could try to balance the people who couldn't afford very much.
And then that's wise. That's wise. The original town was Sharon. Were there any other towns involved at the beginning?
In the very beginning, a woman in Cornwall learned about it. She was a widowed artist, Helen Gazanier.
I'm not going to try and spell that one.
That's all right. And she needed a lot of help. She couldn't drive anymore. She needed housekeeping and errands. And we also added Canaan. So those three were the beginning of the chore service. We did ask we asked the other towns, but they didn't respond immediately, and Salisbury, in fact, did respond, but said that they didn't need it.
How about Falls Village?
Yeah, they eventually did.
They did, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, and now, well, in let's see, when I left in whenever it was, there were 6 or 7 towns. They included, they didn't have Norfolk then, but they are Sharon. Well, it's Region 1 minus Warren, but plus Norfolk.
Okay. So it's expanded, obviously. As the need has expanded, they've expanded.
Well, yeah, and for a while, we had more than those towns. We expanded into Barkhamsted, Colebrook, Litchfield, Goshen.
Wow.
All that area, and I think there might have been about 17 towns, but chore services really depend on an intimate knowledge of both the workers and the clients and the territory as well, and its needs. So after a few years, I can't tell you how many, we scaled back, but we encouraged the creation of chore services in those territories. So there is now a chore service in Litchfield, which serves towns around Litchfield. There's also a chore service in Winstead that serves the towns around them.
You started a trend.
Well, it was a need.
Yeah, and as the need was recognized.
And once the injection of the possibility was there, people realized the benefits.
Oh, it's marvelous. Having used it, it's marvelous. It really is.
Good. I'm glad you did like it.
Oh, absolutely. I used it with my husband, and then when I became ill and was housebound, I used it myself and found it extremely helpful,
well,
particularly in the wintertime.
Well,
this is not a paid commercial either.
No, but it's always good to hear. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, there are benefits to chore service besides helping older people. The workers. What benefits do the workers get?
It was one of the things that I did not expect. I thought that this was going to be only a benefit for older people. But it turned out that not only the benefits of having a very flexible job, particularly mothers with kids and tight schedules, could go when they could manage to get the same schedule that the client needed, but also there was an emotional bond in many cases, and they became friends. I think that was beneficial to both the workers and the clients. Yeah.
Particularly if you're by yourself.
Yeah.
To have someone come in that's warm and friendly and interested,
mm-hmm.
it does make a tremendous difference.
Yeah, somebody
really
who's
does.
Listening and can help you out.
So they get the flexible hours, they get a pay over minimum wage, and they get mileage. So it's a win-win situation. It really is.
I believe so. And the main point, and if this becomes increasingly needed, I think, is to try to keep people at home where they want to be, and where, if it's appropriate, they can stay. I mean, there are some people where it's better for them to have 24-hour care, but most people want to stay home with their dog and the view
mm-hmm.
and the smells they're used to and their neighbors, and that
yeah.
was really key.
You're happier in surroundings that you're familiar with.
Yeah.
And if you're happier, it does make life a lot better.
Well, I think you're healthier. Happier, sure.
Yeah. How do you get workers?
Originally, we advertised, and it was very important to screen well, interview properly, and to be able to reassure the clients that these people had a background check, a criminal check. Now they do drug testing. I didn't do that before,
oh.
but they do now, all the appropriate things, because in the beginning, the workers were independent contractors, and we, in fact, had to go to the Department of Labor to prove that they were, in fact, independent contractors. But now the workers for the chore service are employees. So that was good for some workers and not so good for others, but it's a necessary thing, and it means that employees follow all the different rules that any employee in Connecticut has to follow.
Okay. All right. What was the interview process like?
Usually I was the one who interviewed, although people in other towns, people who were social service people, would do interviews as well, and I thought that was appropriate because they knew their people in their towns. Mm-hmm. And a person can look good in an interview, but you know that there were certain missteps that might not be good for that person to be in the house of an older woman or mm-hmm. older man. Mm-hmm. And so in my case, an interview would ask, first of all, what their ideal job would be. And I think it was important to know what their main concerns were for a job. Some people would answer that saying, well, I really love to clean. And I was pretty sure that wasn't the actual response. It wasn't the response I was looking for, certainly. Mm-hmm. But it gave you an idea of who the person was.
Yeah.
And then I'd ask about previous jobs, anything they wanted to tell me about themselves, experiences. I wasn't particularly interested in education. They could tell me if they wanted. And there are various questions one doesn't ask in an interview, so I didn't ask those questions. It was usually a half an hour and a friendly encounter with somebody that I may have seen around town and wanted to get to know better and wanted to see if they might be a good fit. The interview does give you an idea of who they might be good to work for. So that you remember, for example, that somebody is really interested in birds and volunteers at the Audubon. Mm-hmm. So you think of the woman who was equally interested in ornithology and the outdoors, and so you put them together. Or somebody who's very good at the computer, and you know that Mrs. Brown really wants some help with her computer, so you put them together. So that's the sort of thing you try to ferret out in an interview, because the range of needs is huge.
Oh, yes.
And to see if they wanted to cook a little. Oh, no, I'd never cook. You know, you want to find out the various talents, and everybody has some that the worker could offer.
Were there any documents that you checked?
Oh, yeah, police check. Mm-hmm. Background check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Driver's license?
Oh, yeah.
1099s?
1099s?
The W-2 forms, the wage forms. Did you do any of that?
They do now.
They do now,
but
they didn't.
As I say, they didn't then. In the old days, no.
And did you check references?
Yes, of course.
How many references did you require?
3. And people are funny about references. They will sometimes assume that you're not going to check them. There was one person who applied from Salisbury, and he gave as a reference Dick Tabor, who was the minister there.
Yep.
And I called Dick Tabor, and he said, oh, yeah, he's the one who stole from the till. So this man had obviously assumed that I wasn't going to check up.
Oh, Lordy. Yeah, well.
So, and always talk to them. Sometimes they are unable, for policy reasons or whatever, to give you a reference, so you ask for another reference.
Okay. And how do you get clients? That should be easy.
Well, at first it wasn't all that easy, because it's very difficult for many people who have never had somebody do for them to ask a stranger into their house.
I know. I know. It is very hard to ask for help. I could be dying, but I still don't want to ask for help.
And among other things, not only the invasion of a stranger, but also the perceived lack of independence.
Yes.
You know, I can do that myself. I've always done it myself, and this new girl, always was a girl, even if it was a 45-year-old woman.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
This new girl, yep. I don't know if she'll be able to do my wash the way I want it. So
mine couldn't make a bed with hospital corners.
All right. Well, that's the kind of thing.
Yep.
And the client would train the girl to do it right, just the way you wanted it.
And they were adaptive. I mean, they would try.
Yeah.
They would try.
And the other thing was they would be worried that this stranger might steal from them.
That happened to my father in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
He had women that would come in to cook, totally different agency. Massachusetts is totally different. And there were things that were stolen.
And that's always a difficult thing, because sometimes older people imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
But if that did happen, you want to be really careful to make sure. And
yeah,
there have been documented incidences of theft,
yeah.
And that just is something that comes with the territory.
It does, and you have to be aware. You have to be aware. Whether it's at home or a nursing home, it can happen.
Mm.
It can happen anywhere. Now, you got your funding from the Western Connecticut Area Agency on Aging.
Mm-hmm.
Got that right. That's federal, isn't it?
That is federal, and it is usually a diminishing grant, so that you're meant to be trying to become self-sufficient, which is very difficult to do, because with the chore service, you never get enough contributions to cover your costs. So you apply for other grants as well, and you ask for contributions from the towns. I never asked for that much. I think they've asked for more now.
But you did ask the town.
Yeah, not as aggressively at first, because we were pretty tiny.
Well, yeah.
And what was your question there?
Well, you've told me about the Berkshire Taconic Community Foundation that you
The first injection was $2,000, and that was great, because we could start off right away. The problem with the Area Agency on Aging is that, like many huge bureaucracies, they don't pay you until you have documented everything that you have done. So we had a real cash flow problem, and the town of Sharon was more than generous in covering our costs by guaranteeing payment and then assuming rightly that we would be reimbursing them.
Mm-hmm.
It could not have happened without the town of Sharon behind it. It also meant that we didn't have to pay rent on an office. We paid a certain amount for phone and electricity, but not rent.
I think you said that because you were using a federal agency, you had to form a board of directors?
No, we wouldn't have had to do that. That came because, at first, we were under the umbrella of the Berkshire Taconic Community Foundation, under their charitable organization status. But as it grew, we decided that it would be best to be our own 501c3. So when we applied for status as a 501c3, one of the things you have to do is have a board.
Do you remember when the board was formed?
Perhaps 2005? I mean, 1995, something like that. And it was a wonderful board, most supportive, very, you know, we had a lawyer and a doctor and a social worker and, a couple of community members. I can't remember, it might have been seven people. And they were most helpful, always.
Were they all from Sharon, or were...
No. Okay. Carl Borneman was from Falls Village.
He was a doll.
Jeff Drury was from Canaan. Phyllis Knotts was from Cornwall. Patrice McGrath from Falls Village. I'm sure I'm forgetting people here.
You're doing beautifully.
I think that Claudia Warner was briefly on there. She was Sharon. Those were the beginning ones that I can think of.
That's ample. Did you have a staff to monitor this?
No.
Just
no, it was
you.
Just me. When it got bigger, I did hire people to work in the office, particularly because they needed to manage payment, and we needed to use QuickBooks and various other computer programs that I was not particularly good at. And we also had a very good bookkeeper, Deb Anderson, who took care. Deborah Anderson, she was our bookkeeper in the beginning. And she was very good, very flexible. Everybody had to be pretty flexible. And also had to be extremely sensitive to time constraints. These were people who worked for us that needed that money right then.
Yeah.
And many would come to this office and pick up their paycheck because they needed to have it.
Yes.
On Friday.
Yeah. Well, they were working and they needed to buy groceries or whatever. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Not all of them, but many.
But some. How was the work supervised?
We had very good supervision in the form of the client. They would always tell me if something was not done right. I think that there may be more of that supervision now with the current chore service, but I didn't go and watch somebody clean.
Okay.
I would call the client to see how things were going,
but
I wasn't about to be looking over somebody's shoulder.
Well, that's interesting. Because I used it in 2016-17,
mm-hmm.
and I was never asked about the young lady that was working for me. There wasn't any there wasn't any matching of client and chore worker as far as my end was concerned. And there were mistakes on the payroll, which annoyed me. But
it can happen
in any organization.
Yeah.
When did you retire or leave? I don't know quite how to phrase that one.
Well, let's see. I think I lasted 20 years, so
that's a good long time.
So that would be 2012. Does that sound right? 20 and 92?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. Because the board decided that the program had gotten too big for it to be still run by somebody who was the social service agent as well as the chore service coordinator.
It was a big job for...
So I didn't feel that. I felt fine with being that.
Yeah, you would.
But,
you would.
But so they found a director and moved on from here.
And you maintained your municipal agent?
I've always been the municipal agent and the social service person in Sharon. That has never changed.
And you enjoy what you do?
I do. I love what I do.
Good. That's the most important thing. Is there anything about your chore service that I haven't asked you that you want to tell me about?
Well, one of the things that I was really hoping was that in neighboring New York State, somebody might have picked it up as a possible program. I think I talked to you about that
mm-hmm.
before.
Yeah, you did.
And they have a program that doesn't cover very many people, and the Northeast Community Center did make stabs at applying for a chore service grant, but it never came to anything, and I'm sorry about that.
Well, that's a shame.
I tried to promote it, and obviously not very well. New York State is run on a county basis, not a town basis, so it's much more difficult politically to address, even if a particular town thought they needed something like that. You have to go to Poughkeepsie to get all the information, the funding, and document it, all that stuff. You have to go to Poughkeepsie.
That's no fun.
Well, it would be if that particular area agency were behind it, but it seems they had other preoccupations, and, you know, that's their call.
Do you miss not being involved in chore service?
Yeah, I particularly did in the beginning. I was...
Oh, yeah.
I was... These were friends.
They become friends.
Mm-hmm.
They become friends because you work very closely with matching client and chore worker, and you get to know them well.
Mm-hmm.
It's like leaving school. After I left school, I had no friends because everybody was too busy.
Oh.
But thank you so very much.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.